All right. Well, let's do have a word of prayer for the scripture tonight and ask the Lord to really help us. It's great to be together. We surely want to hear from you tonight, Lord. We ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, please fill me. The subject is so very, very important. I just feel so inadequate because of the nature of this subject. We can see in the scripture what you have to say about it in the couple of verses we're going to look at tonight. We do trust you, Father, to really help us to understand it, the subject matter, and to respond well to what you show us in the scripture, and ask you, please, in the name of Jesus Christ, to honor your words and edify these dear saints, Father. Love them. Teach us to love you more. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that tonight we'll be glad we've come together in your honor and to magnify your words and to hear from you and be edified, strengthened, corrected, and reproved by your Spirit. For we ask you to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, turn to your Bibles tonight. Two very familiar passages. Ephesians chapter 5, Colossians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let's read them both, and then we'll try to concentrate the early part of our preaching on Ephesians 5:19 and the latter part on 3:19, 3:16 of Colossians. But they really do go hand in hand, and they do go together. It's just for simplicity of examining the Scripture that we'll try to concentrate on one at a time. Ephesians 5:19, the Bible says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." The context, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians 3, verse 16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Context, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Tonight, what we're going to talk about is singing. And included with our singing, of course, is special music, the Young at Heart Choir. There were lots of folks up here. We had to move plants and chairs just to all fit up here. And so that kind of special music certainly fits with this. But really, I'd like to concentrate our thoughts tonight on congregational singing. In the church. There's a purpose in it. There's something that happens in it. There's a benefit in it. Particularly when you sing congregational singing from a hymn book like we have here tonight in the fellowship of believers that are gathered together, either in a congregation like this or like Jesus with his disciples. They sang a hymn after the Lord's Supper before they went into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. Paul and Silas were locked up in jail, sang a hymn together and prayed. God did some marvelous things. There are things that happen in a church service due to congregational singing. You know, sometimes we get the idea, well, this is just on the program. I certainly had that idea when we're going to other churches. People just stood up, sang a few things, lamely sat down, and that took care of, you know, we had a little program. That kind of checked that off, and then you go on to something else like an offering or go on to then the preaching. And it never seemed to have much purpose. Certainly, in other churches, that wasn't true at all. When I went to Bible college, congregational singing was the highlight to me of the Wednesday night prayer service. We had a number of songs that were sung. The church had an orchestra. It was not a paid orchestra. It was made up of people that knew how to play instruments and could follow and read the music of a hymn book to play them. And I think there were 45 instruments that were in the front there of a church that probably had about 500 people in it, maybe a little bit more, pianists, organists. 45 instruments, you have varieties of strings there, cellos and violins, a variety of wind instruments, clarinets and trumpets and trombones and euphoniums, which is like a small tuba. And I'll tell you what, you sing with that and everybody coordinated, that does something phenomenal, really. And congregational singing does not have that place in church anymore, like it did there and like it is with you. One of the reasons we want to talk about this tonight is because congregational singing is a very, very important part of our services here. It's not just something you check off of the order and say, okay, we sang a couple of those, now we do the offertory, and then we'll do this, we'll have a special song, we'll sing a hymn of invitation, and we'll go to the house. There's something in congregational singing out of a hymn book. that's very, very important. And I think the more we know about it, something that we can learn from the Scripture tonight will actually help us as a church understand it, appreciate it, desire it, sing even more intently than we do, because we'll understand why we're doing it, what it accomplishes. And by doing that, hopefully also it will preserve a heritage among us that we want it to get better, not further away. I've talked to some folks even today, talked to some people yesterday about singing. Somebody said, well, we went to a church. We love churches where they preach the King James Bible. That's the kind of Bible that we want, the kind of Bible we need. That's the Word of God. But you go in there and the congregational singing is ma, 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 all monotone. You sit down and it's over. I remember Ann and I for 5 years before we ever got in, found out about all this, were in a Methodist church and, you know, ma, 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 ma. What am I saying? It was just monotone. It accomplished nothing that I could remember. And I thought, well, what's the purpose? Well, there's a lot of purpose. We want to do it with more zeal, and we want to do it with more inspiration, and we want to do it with more desire and more praise of the Lord God. Today, churches that didn't go that way went contemporary. And when they went to contemporary, it became a production. You can't sing along with what they're doing up there. There's no way. And then a lot of them have gone with the choruses. And some of them, I'll tell you, some of the songs that are still written after the fashion of hymns are still very good, but a lot of the choruses now that display up on here, you don't have any music, you can't follow along, very difficult to go, and people kind of read and go along with the music, and it sets a passive tone. And I've remarked about that. When I see that passive tone that seems to come over the congregation, it is almost a manipulative thing. The pastor can just take you anywhere he wants you to go, right into error if that's where he wants to lead you. And congregational singing out of a hymn book is not like that at all. And we don't want to lose that heritage. We don't want to follow the way of the world in an effort to think that maybe somehow we could use that to get up more of a crowd. If you bring people in with that, you never get to leave it. You have to stay with it the whole way. I remember years ago getting an opportunity to go hear a man that did very, very effective work in the Southern Baptist Convention. His name was Darrell Robinson. He had probably 5 different churches, and every one that he went to grew from the small numbers they had, 100, 200 people, 300 people, on up to thousands of people. And you say, well, was that on the purpose of trying to grow a church? No, he did it preaching a King James Bible, did it singing out of a hymn book. But he got the church involved. Got the church involved in an interest in other people's souls and things like that. And I went to hear him. Now it was late in his ministry. He was no longer pastoring. He had gone on to the evangelism committee with Southern Baptist Convention. Somebody knew of him. He said, you really got to go hear this guy. He has an excellent approach to the work of a church, to get everybody involved. So I went, and the service was held up in Copper's Cove, I think, up near Dallas. And there was a nice, very stable sort of a country church in which he came to speak. And many, many gray-headed senior saints that loved God, and then a smattering of young people, and a rock band. And I kid you not, man, the people were there, and they're the older people, and they're trying to sing and clap with the deal. And I thought, man, nothing looks more out of place than what I'm seeing here. This doesn't even make sense to me. You know, they were trying to get into it, and bless God, this is what we needed to do, get young people in here. I don't think so. I'm looking around, I see a good number of young people here tonight. I think what you need to do is give young people a heritage. And a heritage involves good singing, good congregational singing. Now, let's look in our scriptures tonight with that little introduction and say, what is it about these hymns that are mentioned in Ephesians 5:19, these hymns that are mentioned in Colossians 3:16? What does congregational singing do? Well, first of all, congregational singing of hymns joins the congregation together. It joins the congregation together. Look what he says there in Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves, that's us to each other, speaking to yourselves. And notice it says speaking. In other words, there are words in here. And those words were penned by somebody that had something happen to them that related them to something that was in the Scripture that became very real to them. And they developed a testimony and gave it a meter and gave it a melody and said, I have to record this. This is something great that God has done. Speaking to yourselves in hymns. And you know what that does? That causes the congregation to unify. Now, you know this. The devil is interested in breaking apart that which God wants together, and the devil is interested in putting together that which God wants apart. But when you get together like this, God wants us together. Keep your finger where you are and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and you'll see what I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and look at verses 9 and 10. We're going to come back to Ephesians 5, but look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, and notice this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, God is faithful, by whom we are called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now watch it. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak what? The same thing. Well, when everybody's singing Amazing Grace, guess what? Everybody in the congregation is speaking the same thing. And that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And honestly, at a time when we are all singing together, we are all speaking the same thing. We are all having the same mind, and our hearts are knit together in a way that we have one common thing, as you'll see as we develop the message. We have something that we're saying to each other and have something that we're saying to God. Now, I remember years ago, Brother Gipp came when I was pastoring in the other church there in Beeville, and he was trying to demonstrate something to us about the King James Bible. And he said, what I'd like, and he brought a variety of other Bibles there, an NIV and an NASV and a New American Bible and three or four others, Good News for Modern Man and some others like that. He said, what I'd like to do is get seven volunteers up here. So seven men got up there. One had a King James Bible, and then the others each had a different one of the modern Bibles. And he said, okay, turn now to like Psalm 100, and I'd like you all to say it together at the same time. You never heard more Tower of Babel stuff going on in your life. You can't be of the same mind when you have a thing like that. So people say, you know what? If we have a common Bible, then we're all on the same page. We're all reading the same thing. We have a common hymn book, and we're all singing. We're all singing the same thing, of the same mind, joined together. And that's a wonderful thing. You know, it's a cause for us to want to be together. I like to sing. I sing in the shower sometimes. We had an appreciation banquet for young the youth worker volunteers, and one of the things is that a little door prize that was won, that group had to sing the hymn that brought them all together. That was kind of interesting. You brought everybody together singing a hymn. Everybody singing the same one, all came together. They went up there. Mary Mixon was on one of the teams. I told George, I said, I want to hear Mary sing. He said, no, you don't. He said, she sings in the shower. You don't want to hear that. I said, well, I brought a shower cap and a nozzle. I mean, I can help her out. He said, no, you don't. You really don't want that. Now, you know, in a hymn book, just take your hymn book out. You might want to refer, we're going to refer to this a little bit. And notice something about this, because just look at any one of them. Let me turn to number 62, Crown Him with Many Crowns. All right? And notice this is a very interesting thing about the way the hymn book is designed and the way the words are written to a melody. Okay? Notice, in the upper left-hand corner of that thing that looks real funny, it's got all those bars on it right there. Okay? Musical score there. You see that thing that says 4-4? Okay, that's the time of the song. Not only are we singing the same words, but we're singing them all at the same time. This thing is written so that you know, and I'm not going to teach you music tonight, but you know the note values, and so you know how much time is to be spent on each note, so everybody is saying the same thing at the same time. Do you know there's no other place on earth where you get to do that? Because after that, nobody ever is saying the same thing at the same time. You're going to get in your car with your wife and drive home. You're going to start a conversation. She's going to reply, and it's like y'all were having two separate conversations. It's like, did you hear what I said? Yeah, but did you hear what I said? It's the only time you will ever be saying something at the same time, in the same words, all directed to the same person for the benefit of the same people. It's absolutely lovely. Absolutely lovely. And notice also that that these songs here are written, notice, if you will, Crown Him with Many Crowns. If you look at the word crown and you look above the word, you see two notes. You see that? And if you look below the word crown, down on the bottom where the bass clef is, you see two more notes. If you sing those notes the way that they are written, you know what you get? You get what? Harmony. Do you understand what that is? That's a blend where people who are different come together and blend. When we practice songs up here, Bobby will say to us, listen to each other and get the blend. Sing it at the same intensity. Sing it in the harmony so that you get a unified voice. Wally used to tell us whenever we sang in the men's quartet, when you hit all four notes that are written in there properly, a fifth note develops above those four that can be heard when you hit them right, which is a testimony to the harmony, but also to the sympathy that is created in the harmony of the notes. Listen, there's nothing else like that going on around here. That is beautiful stuff. It really is. And so the more you learn to sing, not only do you know to sing crown him with many crowns, which is the melody, but you can also sing the harmony that goes along with that. Sometimes you go to different churches where there may be 300 or 400 people, everybody singing the part that most naturally fits their voice range, and what you have is just one huge choir all sitting in the pew singing praise to God. It's the most beautiful thing you'll ever hear on earth out of the voices of men. Fabulous. That's what congregational singing does. It joins the congregation together. So you know something? It should be with the same intensity. Now I realize something, the way acoustics work, when you're on the back row and you sing loud, you only have the benefit of hearing yourself, which for the sake of everybody else in the church might be a good thing. People keep saying, yeah, but it just said make a joyful noise to the Lord, and sometimes you have to say, I'm not even sure I could call that joyful. But anyway, no, it does that. But you know what happens? The closer you get to the front, the more you have the benefit of hearing the accumulation of the voices that are building toward the front of the congregation until the thing just results in a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, I've heard recently in visiting with some folks that have visited the church, one thing that I really appreciated. They said, we saw that you sing out of the hymn books, but it surprised us because when we opened the hymn book and began to sing, everybody was singing. And that's a good thing. And the more comfortable you get and the more knowledgeable you get of the hymns, where you can sing in the same intensity, it only makes it better. I'll give you an example. Years ago, when we used to walk in Beeville, a lot of times we'd walk on Friday night, we'd walk from our house and we'd head north and we'd head up toward the stadium where the high school football team was playing football on Friday night. Have you ever walked up to a stadium where the team is playing and something good happens? Yeah, that's kind of impressive. It, you know what it does? I'll tell you what it does. When you hear that, the first thing that comes to mind is, I wonder what happened. I wish I was there to see that. Boy, they sure sound excited. And really all it is a bunch of high school students out there knocking heads with each other to see who can put the most points on the board by carrying a leather football across the goal line. I mean, when you really think about it, in the scheme of life and everything that's important, it's important to them because they've worked hard, they've strengthened, they've put in a lot of effort and all that kind of thing. But really and truly, it's just a lot of people being entertained about, look what my boy did. I mean, when you get down to it, right? And when they get older and they get uglier and they get bigger and they get nastier and they get tattoos all over, they pay $100 to go watch it. Nevertheless, when you hear that big thing come up, it does something to you. You get a crowd of people and they're in a stadium like that and all of a sudden somebody starts a wave. Everybody in the whole stadium gets involved in that thing. Whoa! Like that. You're like, what are they doing? Well, there's an intensity in that. Listen, you have somebody like Jesus Christ who shed his blood on Calvary for us, and somebody wrote a song about something he did in their lives. They want to magnify his greatness, and we have the opportunity with the intensity of our voices to praise him like that. You know what it does to somebody that comes in here that's not used to that? Wow. What is going on in there? It's not artificial. If it's done for the glory of God and when it comes from the heart, it is if you're just trying to put on a show. But it does something. It brings a congregation into harmony. It is a unifying effect for the glory of God. That's a wonderful thing. I'll tell you something else about congregational singing. Congregational singing of hymns not only joins the congregation together, but it also provides an easily remembered melody. It provides an easily remembered melody. He says here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, watch it, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing and making melody. In other words, there's a lot of singing that goes on. That you ever turn that radio on and actually end up on a radio station you weren't looking for? I don't know how anybody can sing to that stuff. I hear young people singing to those words that are apparently being voiced with the music, but I'm like, how are you, how do you know what he's saying? I was just like, what is that? Wow. Anyway, so here we are singing and making melody. And if you look at hymns that are in the hymn book, for the most part, those are easily remembered melodies. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Okay, I'm going to start something, and you tell me what the song is. I only gave you four notes. But that is an easily remembered melody. You know where the whole thing goes. And you know what the word is that is associated with the first four notes I gave. What is it? Amazing Grace. All right? Here's another one. Na, 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 na. What's that? Yeah. It is well with my soul. That's right. Easily recognizable. And it's when peace like a river. Yeah, I know, that's right. That's what I know a lot of them by the first line, right? Absolutely. And so those are easily remembered melodies. And when you remember the melody, what do you remember? You remember the words that go with the melody. Let me ask you this one. Na 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 na. What is it? You remember? Mary Had a Little Lamb. Well, you know, that's why we taught our children those things to music, because they will remember what they're hearing. How about this one? Na 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 na. Fred Sullivan's birthday today. We're not going to sing. No, that spare us. We're singing congregational singing of hymns. Not birthday. Happy birthday to you anyway. But it's amazing. So, you know, you can name that tune because it's easily remembered. Well, if it's easily remembered, if it's an easily remembered tune, what's the benefit? A lot of times whenever Bobby is trying to show us a new song and we're trying to learn it, some of you know how to read music, you're spending more time looking at the notes than you are at the words. The words aren't ministering to you. When you already know the melody, you get to concentrate on the words and the words minister to you. You get to forget about this because you know what you're singing. You can relax and it goes. And concentrate on what you're singing. Now, that's what's amazing when you go through here. These tunes are so, so easily remembered. Let me ask you this one. Tell me the tune to Nothing But the Blood. Right now it comes to you. The tune is the song and the song is the tune. They are so closely connected. How about this one? Are You Washed in the Blood? Yeah, washed. Yeah, y'all guys, you got it. You washed in the blood. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing, isn't it? But that's why this is so beautiful. Now, we're going to say more about the words that are in there, but we'll move on to the next thing. First of all, it joins the congregation together. Secondly, it provides an easily remembered melody, a good tune. That's very important. Okay, all right, look in 5:19 again, Ephesians 5:19. The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, seeking and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The next thing that congregational singing does out of the hymn book, it directs our hearts and voices to the Lord. To the Lord. Singing in your heart to the Lord. You ever read the Psalms? What a book that is. All that stuff is set to music. All of that stuff is directed to the Lord. I'll tell you what, people today have what they call praise and worship music in order to praise the Lord. I question that because of the words. And I question it also because of the music that's associated with the words. I believe the music is written to appeal to your flesh and to entertain a crowd, and I believe the words could be spoken between you and your spouse as a love story. The name of Jesus is rarely, if ever, mentioned. And it doesn't talk any at all of praising Him for His majesty, praising Him for His great works, praising Him for the things that He's done in your life that are magnanimous, that are a testimony to other people. Generally now, when you sing hymns, if you look at it, they are a testimony to everybody that's here what God has done. Okay? The songs that are written today that are called praise and worship, they are love songs that are between you. They're up this way. You to the Lord. Oh God, I love You. You're in me. I'm in You. We're in each other. Oh, I love You. You love me. Oh, we love, love, love. Preach, preacher. Oh, you want me to give you $1,000? Okay, here's $1,000. Just send me another one of the love songs. I love you. You love me. We love each other. I love, love, love. I mean, after a while, come on, man. Ugh. Not that I don't love Him. vain repetition. 7-11 songs. Say the same 7 words 11 times over. Call it a hit. Well, it's not, these hymns are a testimony to the greatness of God. And they are a testimony to others of the greatness of God. You get somebody in a congregation that hears something like this, it will affect them. It will direct their hearts toward the Lord. Now, if their hearts are directed toward the Lord in His greatness, when His Word is preached again about His greatness, the greatness of His salvation, they are already set to see magnificent work of God. They're anticipating a magnificent work of God, and many times lost people under that kind of influence readily receive Jesus Christ even more so than they would if you sat down on a park bench and just testified to Him directly in a testimony. It sets something up about God's work that is just amazing. Now, of course, when you read through here, Jesus saves. You don't have to look at the hymn. We've heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward, 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. You start preaching with that thing going on right there. Let me tell you something. You know what they're looking for? Jesus to save. It's being proclaimed. You read that, you sing that, you walk out here and say, I'm going to bear the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the waves. It does something to you. It has an effect. It directs your heart and voice to the Lord. Here's another thing. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. This picks up on a prior statement I made in an earlier point, but develops it a little further. Look in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know what singing hymns does? It lets the word of Christ dwell in you. It's like scripture memory. Now, listen, this morning I preached on faith, right? And preached on living by faith. Some of what I told you you're going to remember is something that I said. Some of the things you're going to remember this morning are things that were actually quoted from the Scripture. Okay? Like in the Scripture it says, take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient of the day is the evil thereof. That's the memory of the Scripture. But on the point, you might remember that living by faith is depending on God for your daily provisions. Remember that? That's not Scripture. But it's scriptural. And allows the truth of the verses we examine to dwell in your hearts. When the missionary was here before, and he said, "Don't destroy by faith, by doubt. Don't ruin by doubt what you've begun by faith." That's not scripture, but it's scriptural. When it lodges in your heart like that, it keeps you doing what the scripture tells you to do. So in preaching, one of the things we have to do is we've got to be careful not to get so carried away with the illustrations that we have and all the points we want to make that we forget the text we're illuminating. If we do that, then all you're doing is following the advice of a man, as he saw it from his perspective, based on what God is doing in his life on his understanding of the Scripture. But if the text is constantly illuminated, then what happens is the Word of Christ is being preached. You know what? When you read these hymns, you are reading a lot about what God does and what God says in the Scripture. And because those things are to melody, to a tune, they are easier for you to remember because the words are associated with the melody, as we said. Now, I go to the nursing home every other week and I preach. And I walk in there and I've got several people that I see and I've been seeing for years, and they come up to me. I come up to them and say, "Hi, how are you doing?" They go, "Hi, who are you?" And I say, "Bevins Welder." "Really? Where do you preach?" I said, "In Corpus Christi." "Oh, that's wonderful. I'm from Corpus Christi." "They're not." "I'm from Corpus Christi. What's the name of your church?" "Bible Believers Baptist Church." "Oh, that's lovely. I was a Methodist." Good. I say, "Okay, let's get the hymn book out." We get the hymn book out. We start to sing. They're not looking at the words. They're singing from here. They remember them all. Next 2 weeks, I come back over there. "How you doing?" "Fine. Who are you?" "I'm Bevins Welder." "Really? And where do you preach?" "In Corpus Christi." "Really? What's the name of your church?" "Bible Believers Baptist Church." "Oh, that's good. I'm a Methodist." They can't remember any of that. "Open the hymn book. Let's sing." They don't even have to look at the words. You know what happened? The Word of Christ dwells richly in their hearts. You know how it got buried in there? Singing congregational hymns. Isn't that beautiful? Haven't you ever been comforted by the words of a song? I remember one time I was just under a terrible, terrible agony personally about something, and the more that I was dealing with it, the more that I was thinking about it, the more that it seemed to claim the victory over me, and I just couldn't shake it. I was literally feeling defeated. And while I was lying there and considering all of this, just getting weighed down with the weight of the trouble and the problem that were on me, guess what came to mind? "Christ liveth in me, Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a rejoicing this, that Christ liveth in me." I popped up off of that bed. I tell you what, I said, "If Christ is living in me, this thing will not have the better of me," because Christ never was. He was subject to the temptation, but he never succumbed. And with him living in me, he can get the victory. And I mean, I walked out of there, jumped in the car, drove up here to church, and the whole way was singing that song. You know what brought me out of it? The words of the song. And you, that's what you want, is the Word of Christ to dwell richly in your heart so that upon the time that it's needed, it comes back. And when it comes back with the melody and ministers to you in a way that nothing else will. I'll tell you something else that you can see in the text. In Colossians chapter 3, not only does it let the Word of Christ dwell in you, but look at this. It preaches a sermon to you. Congregational singing preaches sermons to you. There are sermonettes in every one. Look what he says here. "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly." What? "In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." They teach you. And they admonish you. They preach sermons to you. We've sung so much and done so many things, I'm going to forget. I tried to learn the tune of this song between song practice and tonight, and I don't think I'm going to remember it. So I'll just quote it to you, but when it gets to the point that I need to. Listen very carefully. Songs in a hymn book like these will preach to you. They will preach to you. Years ago, many years ago, the book that I read this illustration in was published in 1945. These are sermon illustrations of Harry Ironside, so these things are, they're old. And but he was talking about prayer, okay, and the effectiveness of prayer and whether or not prayers get answered. The question came up, if you prayed for somebody's salvation for a long period of time and they died and you didn't know whether they got saved, did they get saved or not saved? And he said, "Let me tell you a little story." It was a young man that grew up in church, and as he got older, like so many children do as they get older, he strayed from the Lord and went on his own to become a sailor. And he loved the life of the sea. Well, you know about sailors. That's a rough bunch. And so he got out there and he loved that life, all the things that went along with it. You know, he had bad mouth and bad behavior bad companions and the whole thing, but he loved that liberty of being out on the sea. And so one night, a terrible storm came up. They were sailing on a vessel that had sails, masts, and so forth. And so they went out to try to get the rigging down, and during that episode, the mast broke. The rigging came down. A huge wave crashed over the deck of that boat, and that kid went out into the drink. Now, what he didn't know at the time is that his mother was at home, and at that time, correcting for the time zones, she was awakened by the Lord to pray for him. And for 3 hours, she prayed for that boy, not knowing what the circumstances were, of course, at all. And after 3 hours of praying, this peace came over her, like, it's all settled, it's all done, do not worry about it. Never, ever bothered her again. And 2 weeks later, she found out the rest of the story I'm going to tell you. When that boy had gotten swept off, she's praying at precisely the same time. While he was out there in the waves, crashing over him, now being separated from the boat that he'd just been washed from, you know what happened? He remembered a hymn that he had often heard sung in his boyhood days. There is life in a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, unto him who was nailed to the tree. He cried out, O God, I look to Jesus. And at that moment, he was saved. The next wave hit him. He went unconscious. The storm raged for another couple of hours. After the storm settled, the sailors all got back up onto the deck to try to clean up all the mess that had been made. And there he was, cast up against one of the railings. That wave had washed him back up on that thing. And he had been knocked out. They took him down below, revived him, brought him back. 2 weeks later, when he hit shore, he went straight to his mother, walked in the door, and said, Mom, I'm saved. You know what brought him to Christ? Of course, all the preaching that he'd heard before and everything else, it was the words of a hymn that preached to him while he was out there dying. There is life in a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved unto him who was nailed to the tree. There's a sermon in that. You know, some of you are frustrated preachers because you didn't get called and nobody's ever going to give you an opportunity to stand up here and you don't really want that. But you know what you can do? Listen. You think about people that come in here, you don't know what kind of problems they brought in here today. They're not going to tell you. If they tell anybody, they might tell me or might tell a very close friend. But they could be weighed down with the burden of sin. They could be weighed down with the burden of care. They could be weighed down with the burden of sin. They may be lost. You come in here, you grab a hymn book, Bobby takes and announces the hymn, the pianist begins to play, and you sing with all your might. And you are putting in their ear, in their mind, and in their heart a song that Jesus Christ has led your song leader pick and sing, and you're preaching a sermon. You know what he says? Speaking to yourself, unto yourselves, teaching and admonishing one another. Do you see what you're reading there? Teaching and admonishing one another. You're preaching while you're singing for the benefit of the person that's next to you. God is driving that sermon in there. They're going to need that song. And it ministers to them. And you have suddenly done something for them by singing the words of a hymn that nobody else can do by praying or preaching. You were the sermon they needed that day to get the words in there. Do you understand? So, you know, you come here and you're all beat up about your own stuff one day. Bobby said, let's go over and turn over to that. I said, you think in your head, well, how many times have we sung that? I know you never said that. And all of a sudden he says, yeah, I'll turn over here to hymn number, like hymn number 49. And you came in here, you know, and you weren't all that hep. You didn't have enough coffee today, and you went to bed too late last night, stayed up, got involved in a movie. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. Vocal cords were all stretched out. And take the hymn book. You get the hymn book. You stand up there like that. You know, person over here needs Jesus Christ to minister him in a very, very special way that day. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. He the lover of my soul. And may fail me. Boy, there's 5 verses in this song. Wow. He my Savior make me. Get anything out of this? Well, I'm not either. Is this your first time here? Hallelujah. What I say. Well, I wonder where we're going for lunch today. Hallelujah. What a friend. Man, I sure hate my boss. Hey. Helping. Boy, I can't wait till I get back in the car with my wife. I'm going to tear her up. We didn't finish it. Another verse. Jesus, what a... It's like that sometimes. It's like that sometimes. You had an opportunity to preach a sermon to teach and admonish somebody that's next to you, that's in front of you, that's around you, with the words of a hymn directed by God, undoubtedly based upon a testimony of something that God had done. You missed your opportunity to preach. You already have. Isn't that something? Now, we're not coordinated on this. He didn't know what I was going to preach. All I said as I was walking up here, find a couple of good songs we can sing when we're done. And I stepped up here. Well, this is not a sermon to fuss. This is a sermon to exhort. You and I have an opportunity to take a book like this and compliment the greatest friend we've ever had on earth and teach and admonish somebody else that's next to us with words somebody else's pen. We didn't have to write the sermon ourselves. What a thing. You say, my tune's no good. Yeah, but you know something? I've heard people that couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, but boy, their heart was in what they were singing. And you talk about ministering. Wow. Wow. This is your opportunity. Just look at that. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me. Foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Imagine a lost person standing next to you hearing that, sung with your heart to the Lord to teach and admonish that person. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. He is with me to the end. You do like that, somebody's there next to you that doesn't know Jesus, you know what? They'll be saying, boy, I wish I had a friend like that. What a strength in weakness, what a help in sorrow, what a guide and keeper. And then the last verse, Jesus, I do now receive thee, more than all in life I find, in him I find. He hath granted me forgiveness. I am his, and he is mine. That's preaching to a melody that is easy to remember, that is given in praise to the Lord for the benefit of teaching and admonishing those that are around you that needed to be reminded. Jesus Christ can take care of whatever it is you brought in here today. He really, really can. And then, one last thing. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It awakens the grace of God in your heart. You know what we always say? You know what the grace of God is good for, right? It's good for everything supernatural that you don't have. If you're infirm, grace of God can handle it. You're distressed, grace of God can handle it. You're reproached, grace of God can handle it. You're in persecution, grace of God can handle it. You're in necessity, grace of God can handle it. It is the supernatural supply of something that God can give you. You can't get any other way at a time when you desperately need it. And Hebrews 4:16 says, therefore, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, right? And we always say, so you just pray and get there. But he didn't say pray and come to the throne of grace, did he? Although that's, I believe that. Paul said, I prayed thrice that it may be whatever it is, taken from me, the thorn in his flesh. And he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. He prayed, he got the grace. But there's another way to come to the throne of grace and get some grace. Look in your hymn, but look in your, what do you call that thing? Bible. In Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with what? Singing. I can get to the throne of grace with some singing too. And he says here in our text that when you sing, You sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It awakens the grace that God has provided and allows that grace to minister to you. And then when you sing, we read the verses, with thanksgiving, which is the context of Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16, God has ministered something to you. You get something out of the singing. In other words, it's just not a matter of coming up there and singing and making some noise to the Lord, but actually thinking about the words that you're singing that begins to minister to you and do something for you that really helps you obtain and experience and awaken the grace of God in your heart. It's a good thing. What a great opportunity. I'm so glad we still have congregational singing here. And I'm glad you love to sing. I know when we first started, it was kind of rough, but boy, I mean, you guys like to sing, and I love to sing, and this is just to encourage us to keep singing more and understanding why we do it. There is a heritage of great things that God has done for us in this. And let me tell you something, there's not a day that I come here that I don't need more of the grace of God than when I got here. If I can get some more of that from the singing and be encouraged with a spirit that's lifted by that, then you know it's been good. And it does it for me and does it for you in a way that literally nothing else can do that God has given us. So that's why, at least out of a hymn book, church, it joins the congregation together, provides an easily remembered melody, it directs our hearts and voices to the Lord, lets the Word of Christ dwell in you, preaches sermons to you, brings the grace of God in your heart. That is good stuff. Amen? Amen. We're going to have a word of prayer here, and then when we do, Bobby's going to come, and we're going to sing a couple of more things so we can get a good dose of grace before we go. Father, I thank you today for the opportunity to be able to preach the words of God, and I do pray, Lord, that you will bless this work in our hearts. Father, I pray for Hilton Smith. I think I neglected to pray for him earlier. Rough and Ready Baptist Church out in Rough and Ready, California. Father, bless that congregation with your presence, with men and women who will serve you, draw close to their pastor, grow close to you, love and uphold your word, and be zealous to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, to be very supportive of each other in the church, in praise to you, and join together in a congregation, and look for the grace of God and for the message that you have for us in the songs. I pray, Lord God, that you will certainly edify this church and edify our hearts, and praise your name for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.